Decorating Pages is a podcast dedicated to taking you behind the scenes of the designs of your favorite TV shows and films. Each episode, I'll be sharing design stories from some of Hollywood's most famous sets, interviews from set decorators, production designers, directors, and actors about creating the look of TV and film, about their design inspirations, and stories that take sets from page to screen. Hello, and welcome to Decorating Pages. I'm your host, Kim Oneup. Sorry, I'm sick again, so voice is a little off, but there's always that thing when you're off. It's like your body lets go a little bit, and I think my body knew, like, hey, you better get some rest and get sick now because you're going to work, so you can't get sick for a long time. So, yeah, kids are sick, husband's sick, it's cool. But we did take the twins to Disneyland about 2 weeks ago, and funny enough, I've been writing this episode about inspiration, and I knew going to Disneyland would bring up so many emotions for me because it really is inspirational to me, and I can think of the exact detail that I saw in Disney World when I was little in Sleeping Beauty's castle. We were having dinner, and I looked up at one of the columns, and I didn't know the name from it, but it's the Capitol. It's the carved details of, like, the little mice instead of, you know, the Corinthian or iconic top of a column. It was the mice, and that to me was like, gosh, everything here is so themed or so made to make me feel like I'm special because I'm in Disney World, and there was nothing like it when I was little. I think we went 4 or 5 times till the age of 14, and then I think I went in my early 20s. I did. So it was fantastic to actually take my two boys to the most magical place on earth, I feel. Just the details of the amusements and the quality, and I don't know, I really appreciate it. It is definitely a point of inspiration for me throughout the years that I think of, and it made me become interested in design and architecture. I haven't been to Disneyland since I was 14, and I'm sorry to say Disneyland cannot compare to the Magic Kingdom. It just doesn't. The whole experience of the anticipation of seeing that castle every time you went was just like either you took the monorail or the boat, or it was just something fantastic. And this, I just feel like, oh, you're in the gates. There it is. I don't feel like I'm just so glad that I had the Disney World experience growing up. So it was awesome. And the flashbacks of when you're a child and you're going on these rides and then taking your child, it was just really special. And you want to be really honest, it was super crowded. And I don't know why there's so many adults there without kids, like on the Pinocchio ride. And then I got to stand there for 45 minutes. But everybody wants to enjoy it. That's cool. But yeah, I get it. There are a lot of people and newlyweds and everything. I get that. It's cute. And then there was like a couple I saw, like older couples together. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, you know, they're doing it for the memory of it, or maybe remembering taking their kids, or maybe they're just super fans. But yeah. So in talking about inspiration, it was just weird timing that I also got to experience again something that inspired me so much. So what have I been watching? I zoomed through Candy on Hulu, which I found the editing a little weird, like the way they jump back and forth, because it's set in the late 70s, I think, or 1980. It's about the murder of a housewife by another housewife. And a crazy, crazy story. She killed her with an axe. I mean, it's a crazy story. played by Jessica Biel, and the production designer, Jamie McCall, who I worked with on Impeachment, did a phenomenal job. The DP, Simon Dennis, who was just on this podcast a couple weeks ago, another amazing job with the lighting and the emotion that he extracts from these scenes with his lighting is just really great. And one of the directors from Impeachment, Michael Uppendahl, who also has been on this podcast. So I got three people from that show on the podcast. I think, just did a great job in trying to make you understand why this woman killed this other woman. It's just a crazy story. So again, that's on Hulu. I think it's only 6 episodes, so it's a quickie. Still, Into That Staircase on HBO Max, production design by Michael Shaw and set decoration by Ed McLaughlin. Yeah, I mean, I know what happens and I'm still every day like, does it come on tonight? Is there a new episode tonight? Is it tonight? I think it comes out on Thursdays. Like, I can't wait every day. I really want to see if they get into that owl theory or the hawk theory, whatever it is. That's what I'm anticipating, but I'm watching Hacks. It's not as good as the first season, but, you know, an aging comedian and with some fresh blood. It's good and it's interesting. I'm just not as into it, I guess, the second season. Production designer Alec Contestable and set decorator Jennifer Lucard, who is on a roll. She did Gaslit, which I gotta watch, but I don't have, what is that, Stars? I don't have that. Yellow Jackets, which I'd like to watch, but I don't know what that's on. And then White Lotus. I love that from HBO. So she's got a hell of a year. And yeah, that's what I've been up to this week, besides going back and watching some of the inspirational things that I wanted to talk about on this podcast. So let me ask you something. What inspires you? Now, I'm going to tailor this to the TV and film industry, but what inspires you that made you take your job or made you choose the field that you're in? What is that little thing? I mean, I just shared with you that I loved Disneyland and Disney World, and it inspired me. I know that that is a critical thing, a definite thing that inspired me. But what is it that made you want to do what you do? I mean, do you remember the first time you walked onto a gigantic soundstage? How, like, amazing that was. Like, you're here, there's kind of a smell to it, let's be honest. But the awe of it, or you see an actor from a show that you watched when you were a kid, and you just keep relating, like, I can't believe I saw that guy from that thing I used to watch, and he played a waiter. Like, you're just picking things out that are amazing to you, that, and you're there. You're with him. Or what film did you see in the theater that made you want to work in the movies? It's all this sort of inspiration that makes me want to do what I do. And as I've said many times out loud, I think on this podcast, the ultimate decorating job for me would be Star Wars. And, you know, you start to think and you see, you play your odds. I know how old I am. I know how my career is going. Probably never going to do Star Wars. But I did get an opportunity that just came to me to work on a show that is in space. And to be able to create things. And I am super excited to start the fourth season of For All Mankind, because I just know that it's different. It's different than doing Diana's House, you know, on Bones or something. It's, space is different. And you might think, well, it's a bunch of buttons and it's a bunch of this. But when you look at space films and TV, they're so creative, you know? I mean, yes, they're based off of if it was NASA and or this and that, how did they really get to the moon and such. But when you look at real sci-fi things, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful design that people create. And even when I had Jim Bissell on and he was talking about his movie, The Midnight Sky, he had students from, I think it was MIT, like, talk to him about his design and how if it could really work and really be a spacecraft. Like, that's amazing. So that's inspiring to me. I was just going to go through some films, some TV shows, books, and magazines, and then a couple social media accounts that I find inspiring. So let's start with movies. One of the movies that definitely inspired me was The Goonies. I could watch The Goonies now, and I put it on the other day, and there is just something about the excitement of it, the discovery, these kids doing things, and it was so good. And so visually, like, that ship, and I don't know. It has always inspired me. It's funny. Production designer J. Michael Riva and set decorator Linda Descana. I mean, she would be a dream to have on. Oof. But it is. It is hands down. And I talked to Adam Rao about this. I think that we had both said, like, The Goonies is a film that is inspiring to us. I think, too, after you watch it and you get a little older and you know it's a Steven Spielberg film, there's something magical about it. You know, I knew, like, E.T. is another one of my inspiring films. So I have two Steven Spielberg films on here. Production designed by Jim Bissell. Set decorated by Jackie Carr. To me, E.T., that touches a little bit on space and sci-fi. But that house and that bedroom. And it was all very magical, even though it was every day. And I didn't live in California. And there was big rolling houses. And then, yeah. And I think, too, the design of that family, like, it really felt like a home. There, I think there are things, and I look back at movies, and it felt like a house, like a real home that I never imagined that someone, that Jackie Carr went in there and picked that, you know, colored glass lampshade for over the table when they're sitting there eating dinner together. I mean, it's such a great scene, and there's something about that inspired me, that it was real, that this felt real. It didn't feel like a fake movie, and it's something that I've referenced, that I go back and look at. How do you achieve that? How do you achieve making it look so messy, like a real family is there? I don't know. But E.T., The Goonies, another one that's kind of out there for me is Beetlejuice. Production designer Bo Welsh and set decorator Catherine Mann. I mean, that waiting, the dead waiting room, the people who've died, it's not just, it's the waiting room. It's that whole office and the conveyor belt. I mean, I'm sure Tim Burton was very specific on things that were visually needed to tell that story, but the DP, the lighting of Beetlejuice, when they're in that old attic, and then the redo of that house to make it so ugly, 80s, minimalist, weirdo, it's great. It's really, it's a great movie. It's funny. It was inspiring to me. I know I saw it in the movies. I might have seen it twice, but it inspired me, I think, in such a way that it was odd and entertaining and so creative. Like, Tim Burton is mad. His movies are magical. I think the earlier ones for me, but yeah, I love Beetlejuice. Now, classics that inspired me, Gone with the Wind. How could you not be inspired by Gone with the Wind? I mean, it was made in, like, what, 1939 or 1935? It's ridiculous. It's the massive amount of what went into that movie. and those sets and the burning down of Atlanta and the homes and then the homes in ruins and then the rebuild and the lush and the money and the costumes and, I mean, Vivien Leigh. But Gone with the Wind is such an inspiration to me. And I remember watching like a making of and, you know, how they painted in, they only made the set so high and then they would paint in the skies of Twelve Oaks because it was burned down and the ceiling was gone, and how they had all those fake bodies instead of the real soldiers, and all those extras in Atlanta. And I just thought it was such a massive thing. Like, how would anybody ever do that? And I could never imagine that, you know, the breakdown of that script and the shooting days and, But yeah, Gone with the Wind. I don't know how anyone doesn't say Gone with the Wind visually. I don't know. It just is it for me. And the other oldie but goodie is The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz is spectacular. I mean, that scene when it goes to color, it must have been phenomenal to be in that theater in, I think, again, 1935 or 39, and have the color just appear like that. And then for it to be so whimsical and costumes and Munchkin Land and the forest and the poppies and the flying monkeys. It's just a horse of a different color. Everything about it is so visually pleasing and inspiring. I don't know how else it is. And it just makes you happy, that movie. And I know that's an inspiration to me. And two others. I gotta say Goodfellas production designer Kristen Zee and set decorator Leslie Bloom. I gotta say Goodfellas was an inspiration to me that I wanted to be a part of movie making. I know it's period and it's not actually about the look of that film. It's about the Scorsese dream of filmmaking, whose masterclass is really good, by the way. Hey, you popped your cherry. Yeah. Like, that is the best scene. I always thought when Henry Hill gets arrested when he's like 14 years old, and then he comes out, you know, and they say, hey, I thought you'd be mad at me. No. You learned a valuable lesson. You know, you didn't rat. It's just such a great movie, and it inspired me to want to be a part of this business. And lastly, in movies, that inspires me is Mommy Dearest. I know. But listen, Mommy Dearest had a huge impact on me in a sense that it scared the shit out of me. But it was this, like, behind the scenes of Hollywood and this glamorous time and wanting to be a part of something so bad and then it falling apart on you, but then being the underdog. And I'm talking about the Joan Crawford part of it, not really that she beat her kids. That was terrifying. And the other thing is, I as far as back as I can think, I have always wanted to design my own home, and I want it to be the staircase from Mommy Dearest. And that house. I love that house. I love the pool. I've just loved everything about it always. So that inspires me. So, yeah, I know. But Mommy Dearest, I'm going to say Mommy Dearest. So when I really started to think about TV design and what inspired me, what keeps popping in my head is Mad Men or more recent, like Game of Thrones and more recent things. But when I really had to think back of what inspired me on TV when I was little, it's like I don't know, the bedroom some silver spoons? I mean, that's lame. But really, I have to say, Punky Brewster was really inspiring to me. Not as that I wanted to be her and cool and everything, but she had the coolest bedroom. Production designer Ken Johnson back then, I mean, really pulled off like the coolest kid's bedroom to me. I always just loved it. And it was so bright and cheerful, and I mean, I know I'm going way back there, but for me, that was definitely inspiring. I gotta say a little bit of Dynasty. I know. But the houses and the clothes and everything, like, just wanting, like, well, look at this show. We were never really Dallas people. We were more Dynasty. A little bit of Falcon Crest. But then, I mean, I'm way more into, like, 30-something, and I'd have to say Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks definitely inspired me as something visually on TV that I looked forward to. It was just so weird, and the music, and production designer Richard Hoover and set decorator Patricia Norris. I mean, it is that weird void or whatever they were in that now is usually just played by a white room. And there they made it sort of real with, you know, all red and black and white check and flooring and, yeah. But I think I guess as TV has expanded more, it inspires me more now and in the last, like, 15, 20 years than it does 40 years ago, I'd have to say. I really was struggling, that's sad, to think of something on TV, which I'm sure you're thinking of something on TV right now that inspired you. I mean, I could say NYPD Blue also. I know production designer Paul Eads did that, and I think Richard Hoover did it too. And I know Marianne Biddle was the set decorator on that for some seasons. That, to me, is one of those things where I loved that show. I couldn't believe that it wasn't real. And the sets, not the storyline. And I know the storyline's not real because my cousin played Diane Russell, Kim Delaney, so I know it wasn't real. But I actually got to see those sets when I came out to Los Angeles, and it was amazing. It was amazing to see those sets. And it was like mind-blowing in a sense of like, it was one of those moments, I can't believe I watched that on TV, and now I'm here, and I'm touching these walls, and this is crazy. So that was a crazy thing for me. So yeah, I don't know, I had a hard time. I don't know why I watch TV all the time. I could say Seinfeld. I could, but I don't know if those sets inspired me. I think the show and wanting to be a part of Hollywood in a sense, Seinfeld, yeah. But yeah. So yeah, that's it for TV for me. Books, I mean, there's a lot of books. There's a lot of books that inspire you. Or at least in this job, I feel like. Especially when you start doing research and things, and you could find a book that inspires you on one subject that you'll never pick up again, but it was great for those 4 months. So books that I depend on or reference all the time, I thought I would put out there. I mean, there's always Elements of Style, which is always like a go-to, or or Ching, Interior Design Illustrations. I don't know. Thinking back to College History of Art and Architecture. I don't know. But these books that I'm going to talk about, I also put on Amazon, so you could look at them and then buy them if you want. If you go to my webpage, decoratingpagespodcast.com, and you click on As Seen On Shop, and then under Decorator Resources, I know it's a lot to get you there, but all of these books are on there if you wanted to see what I was actually talking about. A thousand lights. I mean, it's every lamp you've ever seen and every style and the history of it and circa what time, what, you know, the period. And it's super helpful when you are doing period shows and looking for styles and really trying to nail down like types of like lampshades and directional light of the period. I usually try to look at that for that reason. The other one is A Thousand Chairs, which is the same, you know, the same rhythm as that. And which great style never goes out of style. So you could use so much from other periods in modern day and get away from it. But it's always nice to see and be respectful to the periods that you're highlighting, and I find that those books do help me. The books, The Golden Age of Advertising, I believe they have the 60s, 70s, and I think 80s. I reference those all the time for color palette, to see what was being advertised at the time, for, you know, to as clues as to what would be in people's homes. Those books I really love. I just love looking at them. I think they're Tashin, but I think so. They're really visually nice. I like them. The next one, The Encyclopedia of Furniture, which I love that book. Again, you reference things for periods that you work on, or if you want to go back and think about this person's history, and then you think, well, what was their heritage, and maybe that's where this chair would come from. I try to think of that when I have time to. I think about things. I'm smart, not like people say. The Furniture Bible is another great book. Everything you need to know to identify, restore, and care for furniture. I really do like that book. Again, making sure you're in the right period and just staying true to things. It's always good to have a visual reference. This next book I look at all the time. Quick and Easy Window Treatments. it's awesome. It's really one of the 10 books I always have right around my desk. I look at the window treatments and styles and what kind of tiebacks and what kind of swags. And, you know, I learned a lot of drapery definitions from this book. So I would definitely, definitely recommend that book, Quick and Easy Window Treatments. Love it. And then Architecture and Interior Design, an Integrated History to the Present, History Lessons, and the Love of Architecture and Interior Design. I really enjoy that book. So yeah, those are the books that I use and always have in my office. So magazines, which I don't know if anybody's buying magazines anymore. There are plenty of designers and maybe even decorators who still cart around a lot of magazines, or at least keep them in their office. I purged a lot of magazines in the last couple years, and I'm okay with it. I know, I probably got rid of a lot of referencing, but I have like that old book phobia, and I barely can keep old books around. So old magazines really get me too. But Architectural Digest always, and their newsletter that comes, and their online magazine is fantastic. El Decor, Veranda, House Beautiful, and one that I really like is called New York Spaces. And I have found that they have a really great backlog of online magazines for New York Spaces on this app called Zino, Z-I-N-I-O. I honestly have never met anybody else who uses that app. I don't even know if it's popular, but I stumbled upon it, and it has really great back issues of hard to find magazines. And when I say El Decor and House Beautiful, I actually really like to look at like House Beautiful Italy, or, you know, the French one. I really love to see the other worldly designs that are going on, and sometimes they're really ahead of us, or they've just twisted it in a certain way to make it so French, or, you know, it's so Italian. So I don't know, visually I really like their versions of those magazines, and they're kind of hard to find now, especially bookstores. How many bookstores are left, you know, with large magazine selections? Because here's what's really sad. I was actually getting Entertainment Weekly under some promotion in the last year, and then I got a card in the mail that they're no longer printing Entertainment Weekly. And I was like crushed in a sense. Not that it's some great, you know, magazine, but it's kind of a big thing in the in my world. Like in the 90s, I bought Entertainment Weekly almost every week. Weekly. It was huge at a certain point, and I loved it. So I think, and that's why I subscribed. This weird thing came, and I was like, oh, reminisce. But yeah, isn't that sad? They're not doing it. Anyway, Zeno app, I really like that. And then it saves everything on your app, and you can print from there. So I find that resource really valuable in doing research. Yeah, the Zeno app, and those are the, I know, really obscure magazines I look at, but that's it. So I know I mention it here and there, but I do like the Masterclass series that they got going on. I've done a lot of them. I just recently did the Bobbi Brown makeup one. If anyone has seen me lately, I probably look less tired. But the Martin Scorsese one I thought was really good. And I do feel like I learned a little something. And I think I've almost done, or I'm, you know, because I don't do them all the time. But the Ron Howard filmmaking one is pretty good too. I really want to do the Jodie Foster one to see her perspective. But Ron Howard's chapter on production design is really complimentary to the production designer, and I think honest in the sense of him telling people, you know, they're like the first ones on. It's like you and AD and the production designer, and that I don't think a lot of people understand that the production designer is on so early in the process. So yeah, the Ron Howard one's pretty good. So social media. Everyday inspiration on your feed or who you're following. I thought I'd give a shout out to a couple of accounts that I feel give a behind the scenes look into our industry, honestly. And a couple of them have been on the podcast, I'm not gonna lie, and I probably follow them because they're on the podcast, but James Pierce Connolly, who has been on the podcast, who is a production designer of basically every reality show out there almost, God bless him. He puts out a lot of like before and after or concept to final product on his feed. He's a fantastic designer. His account is JP Connolly, JPConnelly. A set decorator who I've had on the podcast, Lydia Marks, who has done Sex in the City and recently just The Time Traveler's Wife. She's great. I mean, she did Fosse Verdon, and her behind the scenes photos of that are fantastic on her feed if you go a little deep. She's super sweet, and I don't know how she has the time to post such awesome things, because she even goes back and remembers like Carrie's Closet or this and that. Like, I love seeing her posts. So her IG account is lydia.olydia. So it's lydia dot 0h dot lydia. Lydia Marks, set decorator. So yeah, that's a good one. Now, a friend of mine who has an Instagram account who might be credited with the most pictures of the Los Angeles area, whether it's neon or doors or signage. She has just taken up this hobby of a real appreciation for Los Angeles and further on, like, you know, in any of her travels, but mostly Los Angeles, where she will explore an area over the weekend and just take Instagram photos that are beautiful. And I believe, you know, you can contact her if you need any of these photos. She is an art department coordinator who's wonderful at her job. Kama Hayes has documented tons of Los Angeles, and it's beautiful. So her IG account is LKAMINO. Yeah, Kama Hayes. She's wonderful. If you knew Kama, she's awesome. So yeah. Production designer Jeanine Oppenwall picked up IG not so long ago, and I feel like she's really into it, and she's really good. She has these great, like, interesting photos of her travels and her sets, and then you know, she worked in, like, the Eames factory, and she has, like, great dated photos back then too. Just super interesting, and I always just am anticipating her posts. Her account on IG is capital L E R O D E A 01569. I'm not going to try to pronounce that. But yeah, I find her account inspiring also. Another good one is set deck buyer Nathan Smith, who has been working on Grey's Anatomy for, I don't know, like 10, 12 years or something, I think, since the very beginning, which is kind of awesome. And I don't think I'm wrong on this. He just posted that they shot their 400th episode and they gave every cast and crew member $4,000, like $4,200 or something. Awesome. I think I have that right from his posts. I mean, I don't know how people aren't talking about that more, that they gave out those crew gifts. That's awesome. I always expected to get, like, cool shit, but yeah, like, Modern Family once got, like, iPads. I don't know. But anyway, Nathan has really great behind the scenes of Grey's Anatomy and his day-to-day shopping at prop houses and stores, and I always really like his posts. So his IG is Set Deck Buyer, capital SETDECBUYER, Nathan Smith. The next production designer, Keith Neely, I don't know if I've ever met him, and I might have emailed with him once, but he is a production designer and does a lot of before and after, or like show scenes being lit, and I don't feel like he posts that often, but I do like when he does post. I don't know him, so but I like his post. So his IG account is Keith_Neely, NEELY _ production _ design _. I think that's what it is, like an underline. Is that an underscore? I'm so stupid. But yeah, Keith Neely, production designer. You could probably also search him that way. Yeah. Some of the public people I don't know accounts that I find inspiring are Martin Scorsese, for obvious reasons. Marie Kondo, who I live by her way of folding every drawer in my house is that way. And I do think of things that spark joy, and if they don't, I try to get rid of them, but usually don't. But her posts are always so bright and happy that I do find them inspiring. I love Cherish by Design. I think Cherish runs a really good IG account and really great ideas with homes and rooms and colors and styles. Just, I really like that. House by Design is another one I really appreciate for their inspiring post. I've recently really started to use Instagram for research, especially when I was doing impeachment and the White House and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, and then the 90s. There's a lot on there if you really look. There's a lot of inspiration on there as resources for research for the project you're on. 80s modern, I really love. 80s modern. Just flashbacks of like 80s style and everything. I just really get a kick out of that. There's another one, I think it's like Kids of the 90s or something. That's a really good one. Interior design ideas. That's a good account. That also has some really great inspiring pieces of redesign and what's cool now. I also always love Apartment Therapy. They always have great articles. I love their website. All of their like sub websites I've always been a fan of for a really long time. The magazine Interiors, which I don't really use or buy or look at, but I like their IG account, which is INT Journal. They always have some articles about production designers and sets and set drawings and really beautifully done pieces that you don't normally see. So that I always find inspiring. Design Milk. I don't know if anybody is into that one. I really like that one. For years, I've been looking at Design Milk. And that's like everything from furniture design to graphics and what else they have? They got a lot on there. Another one I look at is The Jungalow. The J-U-N-G-A-L-O-W. And they post a lot of plants and this like boho vibe, but really great colors. Really love their posts. Mid-century everything, obviously. Mid-century everything always has some great inspiring stuff, especially if you're doing that period. Lonnie Mag, again, I don't like look at the magazine Lonnie, but I like their IG account, LONNYMAG. Another one I find funny and inspiring and weird is Daughters of the 70s. That's a really good one. It shows some really creepy designs from the 70s and then shit that like we all grew up with that seemed normal and now is weird. Another great one, always check out ADG 800. That is a good one. I just saw that Women of ADG has their own account, which is very inspiring. Way to go, girls. And the STSA. Always check out the STSA and Set Decor magazine. That's always inspiring of my peers and what they're up to. And Karen Berg, who does the interviews for that, is always fantastic. So those are the ones. Another one I just got into is called Movies Humor, about people who work in the industry. And they have some really funny like cartoons or really close to home graphics that make you wonder why you work in TV and film. So yeah, those are IG accounts that inspire me. So I hope that gives you a little insight of little things that inspire me or things I go back to and look at constantly to get inspired and excited about our world. And it really does go back to that sort of magic, or I don't know, that you're making movies, you're making TV, you're making things that millions of people are going to watch. No pressure. Can't think of it like that. But yeah, it is exciting. It is a great world that we have. And if you take out the reality of it and how hard it really is, but nothing is easy, you know. Gotta love what you do. I hope it's inspiring for anyone, or some sort of insight of what a decorator looks at and or is inspired by. I hope that gave you a little something. I'm also gonna apologize, I have to edit this. So so much because I've coughed about 20 times during this, so sorry for the jumpy edits. I'm just gonna say that. And since I am starting up a job, I gotta say, probably not gonna be weekly, probably 2 a month, I'm trying to get to ya. So we'll see who's out there. I've had some really good requests, I'm not gonna lie. There's been a couple people email me with some really great requests, and thank you so much. That was really exciting, and just to talk to people of what and who is inspiring to them. So that was awesome. Thank you. And I'm trying. Let me put that out there. If I've emailed you back, I am trying. So yeah, thanks for putting up with this voice, and I hope you got an earful. I'm Kim Wanda for Decorating Pages. It's already May, and there is free shipping just in time for the Memorial Holiday weekend. Stogie Floatie Luxury Pool Float available on Etsy, and use your promo code FloatFree on StogieFloatie.com.